All right, time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle. Brought to us by Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, and, of course, Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, happy Sunday to you. How are you today?
Same to you, Marty. Doing real well, thanks.
Yeah, today was cut down day. You know, I guess in pro football, where they call it the Turk coming around, is that it? I don't know what they call it in baseball. Maybe they call it Mike Murphy coming around. But there were some decisions today. You've been around spring training when cut down day comes. It's always a little tense being in the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, you know, in a lot of cases, you don't know what's going to happen. It's coming down to the wire. I think, from what I gather, Susak was a little bit surprised, maybe not shocked, but I think he probably felt he'd done enough to get on the Giants bench. But it's one of the tougher days that managers have, and you know the good ones will talk to the guys face to face, you know, give them a pat on the back and some encouragement about what's to come, and it's not the end of the world, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they explain to him what they have to accomplish, and Bruce Bochy was on with us earlier and talked about Perez maybe coming in a little bulked up. Susak got hurt down here. You know, things like that happen, and there are reasons why guys go back to the minor leagues. And Bochy's such a good guy. It was funny. He said, well, no one had a problem with it other than his son, who started throwing things around the room.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to question Bochy's judgment. I mean, aside from being just a very decent, strong man, you know, his judgment is impeccable to the tune of 3 championship rings. So, I mean, I guess within the family it can be a little different, though.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't really ask him that, but I'm sure Andy Bagley will ask him that a little bit later on. Maybe he did already. What it's like for him to send his kid down again, because he really did get a lot of playing time, I thought, in spring training. So that must not be simple for Bochy to tell his son, sorry, you got to go back to the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's tough because in Brett's case, you know, he's not a surefire major leaguer. It's not like an automatic, well, of course he's going to be up. But he's not, you know, the typical coach's son who just doesn't have it, you know, who would love to be what his dad was but isn't. You know, he's certainly not that. He's kind of in the middle, so it makes it especially tough on Bruce.
Yeah, well, that was today. That was the sort of the feeling around the club today. A lot of people departing and some long faces and some that understood it, but that's really part of the rhythm of spring. You know, everything about baseball, Bruce, has a rhythm. The end of spring, the beginning of the season, getting through the first month, feeling your way along. Isn't it amazing? The game's been played for 150 years, and you just have that rhythm of a season that's the same every year.
Yeah, and this season I haven't had that sense that, well, you know, spring training's too long, get it over with. I think it's been especially rhythmic this year. It seems perfect. You know, before you know it, the Giants and the A's will be playing at AT&T, and then they'll have one in Oakland, and then you really get that big league field, and then you get underway.
So, yeah, Bochy said, Bruce said, not to interrupt you there, but Bruce said they have not been playing well down here. The record reflects it, but it's the way they're losing. And he says we need spring training.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they've been a little bit alarming. You know, you tend to not take anything you see in spring training too terribly seriously, but they've had a string of, you know, reckless performances, not great pitching. But I've been around spring training enough to think that they could turn it around like 180 degrees on opening day and look like champs. You know, I mean, it's not like these guys are rank amateurs. They've all been there. They've all got their own program in spring training. They might not have the focus. You know, when you come off, some of these guys have played in October 3 times. You know, spring training is just never going to have that feel. It's never going to get you super motivated. You're going to be on your own program. And I don't know, I have a feeling that when they start, they may not win the first 11 in a row, but they're going to look like a professional team.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Bruce Jenkins with us talking some spring baseball as we get ready to break camp here. And today is our last broadcast on KMBR, at least for me, and then back up to the Bay Area. Bruce, Barry Bloom was on with us earlier. Bob Nightingale was on yesterday. Interesting issue. And you and I have touched on the periphery of Pete Rose a few times. Both of those are well-respected writers, and I think in touch with their brethren. Both said that they thought that Rose would be, at some point and within the near future, taken off the ineligible list, and the baseball writers would then have a shot to vote him in or not, and not the Hall of Famers. And that was both of their opinions. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. I wrote something to that effect recently. You know, he never was subject to the vote by the writers. I wrote his name in for about 5 years until I was sort of admonished and told not to really keep doing that.
Okay.
But I really think that the first step, if he's going to get on a ballot, should be with the writers, with the regular time frame. And I think that'd be very interesting to see. I mean, for those of us who covered the game during Rose's career, I mean, few players had a stronger impact on us than Rose. You know, as a competitor, as a winner, as an interview, it's total dedication to the game. I'm encouraged to hear that. I've heard others say that it wouldn't go on our ballot, that it would be up to the veterans, and that's tricky. They haven't voted on anybody since Bill Mazeroski many, many years ago.
I think the last one was Frankie Frisch, I think they voted in, perhaps.
Yeah, Frankie Frisch, John McGraw, that's it, you know. But, it's been a while, let's put it that way. And I think those guys are, I don't know, they're a little bit too strict. I was in on one of those votes, and all the players that were up were denied, but it was also the vote that got the three managers in, Cox and Torrey and La Russa, so at least we voted somebody in.
Yeah,
but that's a pretty tough hang for an ex-player.
Let me ask you a question about that. When the Torrey vote was taken, was he considered as a player as well or strictly as a manager? In other words, when the argument was made, say, look, he was a great manager, but hey, he hit .363 one year and, you know, for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think it helped. I mean, that he was the MVP, I think, that year. He hit
right.
.363 without beating out a single infield hit. He just hit one rocket after another. And that was a very, very memorable season for a guy who didn't have a fabulous career, especially at the start. He was kind of pudgy, overweight with the old Milwaukee Braves, but he developed into a fine player. That weighed into it, although, you know, what he did with the Yankees as a manager, and especially because it was the Yankees, that could have stood alone. If he hadn't played, I think he still would have gotten in.
I agree. Hey, Bruce, yesterday we didn't have a chance to talk about Nick Peters. And for the fans who are not up to date on him, Nick, of course, a wonderful baseball writer over 47 years in the Bay Area and covered the Giants and A's on the beat as well. In the baseball writers wing of the Hall of Fame, had a terrible nerve degenerative disease that finally caught up with him last week. But the interview room at AT&T Park is named after him. And he was a good friend to many, many, many people. And you touched on it in the Three Dot Lounge on Saturday, and I wanted you to have a chance to tell the audience about Nick Peters.
Well, he was a sports editor of the Berkeley Gazette when I was at Cal. And that was a real lively sports section. You know, Nick wrote a regular column. He was on top of everything. It was the Chronicle certainly wasn't dominating the Examiner. If you read the Berkeley Gazette, that was something you wanted to keep reading, and it was all because of Nick. And he did cover the Giants, but he covered them mostly at home back then. We're talking about the late 60s, and I was covering the Cal baseball team for the Daily Cal and also doing the public address announcing at Evans Diamond. And Nick was always down there watching the Cal baseball team play. He's such a baseball guy. I got to know him really well. And after I graduated, I asked Nick if I might come and work for him, take a summer job at the Gazette. And he turned me down, and the reason he did is because he knew me better, really, than I did. He knew that I'm a beach kid. You grew up in Malibu, for God's sake, and had been playing beach volleyball and looking for waves every summer of my life. And he really wondered if I'd be that committed to it. And he was absolutely right. I mean, I didn't get the chance to work for him, but I went back to the beach and did all those things. And even when I hooked up with the Chronicle, I was hired for 8 months a year for a couple of years. And I turned down offers to go full-time because I wanted to keep being a flaky surfer in the wintertime. And I wasn't until 76 that I really, really committed myself. So I just thought that was, you know, Nick saw that way ahead of time, and he was absolutely right. And, of course, it didn't affect our friendship at all.
No. Anyone else in your life ever analyze you that way? It's an interesting story that I could, you know, here you are, the great Bruce Jenkins, the passion for the game, and someone saying, hey, wait a minute, you're a beach guy. Anyone ever else analyze you like that?
No, not really. I mean, when I worked like hell. I mean, whether it was the Daily Cal or doing the stats for the sports information or whatever work I've ever had or as a student or anything, I went full bore. I didn't slack off at all. But when the when the free time came, you know, this is what I did because I grew up on the beach. My dad bought a house in Malibu in 1945. So that, I had the fortune of doing that. But, I mean, I still have a little bit of that in me. But, no, I've never been described as mostly a beach kid.
It's great. It was a great insight. And I know you put that in your column on Saturday. I said, well, I have to hear it out of Bruce's mouth first to hear that, the way Nick analyzed it. But we lost him, and a very long memory for him you know, just being part of the scene here and touching many people's lives. He was a great sports collector. I bought a few years, and I'm saying years, of the sporting news from him.
Wow. Yeah, he had a sensational collection. I never got to actually see it, but he would mention it from time to time. Just a real interesting guy. He and his wife traveled the world. You know, they went to great restaurants. They drank the best wines. They just knew how to live. And even on the beat, Nick would, he preferred, if it was possible, he would drive to the next city. He'd rent a car and he'd see some things. He'd go to places on the way. You know, every moment of his life was a valuable, you know, addition to the richness of life for him. So he was a real special guy.
Well, very nice. I'm glad you got to say that. Now, Bruce, yesterday you mentioned you're doing some of the previews and predictions for the Chronicle coming out in the special section next Sunday. How do you approach that? I mean, people are asking me every day, what about the Giants? What about the Padres? What about this and that? And, of course, I have spring training to go by. On paper, I have some trades and the people that may be hurt or not hurt. I'm not sure what to say. How do you go about making predictions?
Well, it is tough. I had to file this like 3 days ago, and it's not running till Sunday. So, heaven help me if there's a massive trade tomorrow. I could probably edit it a little bit, but you know, I try to go against the grain a little bit because so many surprising things happen. I was in charge of the American League. You know, I went with the Mariners and the White Sox to win their divisions, and I went with the Red Sox also. I don't think any of those. I guess Seattle is maybe looking like a majority kind of favorite, but. It's just instinct, and it's almost whimsical, really. I mean, but I put a lot of time into it. I've been reading what all the writers in these towns are saying, and keeping up with the transactions and who's hurt and who's winning this job. But it's kind of guesswork. I also try not to be a homer. I mean, I really think the A's could win that division, but you know, if you pick the A's and the Giants, you go, well, of course you did. You know, you're. I don't do that unless I'm just dead certain that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think I picked the Dodgers really this for the West, but I certainly don't think they're going to run away with it. I think it's going to be a great race, and I really just think it's going to be the two teams. I think the Dodgers and the Giants are going to dominate it.
Yeah, I'm still in the Padre camp. Tyson Ross yesterday struck out 12 in 6 innings down here, and you know that's that's the kind of arm. Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And, you know, I'll let you go with this, and I know you did the American League, but Sandoval still talking this week. Amazing that he's still doing it. He better get off to a good start and have a season for the Red Sox. But the Red Sox are going against the grain. They're saying we're going to have the best offense in the American League. We've got people all over the place. We've got so many outfielders, we don't know what to do with them. And the pitching, let's see, I think we could get away with it. That doesn't work. That never works. It's going to be that Red Sox thing for me is going to be something I'm going to follow.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad I've got the baseball package. I'm going to be watching as many Red Sox games as I can because of the offense. But I wouldn't say the rotation is a disaster. I mean, you know, Masterson, Miley, Purcell, these guys have all done stuff. All five of the guys in the rotation have done stuff in the bigs. It's not like they're throwing, you know, a bunch of number five starters out there. The bullpen's a little suspect. Uehara is hurt, and he's not a young guy. I'm sure the pitching will be an issue at times, but I think they just might out-hit everybody. The Eastern Division is probably as weak as I can remember it.
Well, I'm going to go on record. I think their pitching is disastrous. I think they're going to get killed.
Who do you like?
In that division, I say it every year. At one point, Toronto is somehow going to put this thing together, and I think this may be the year. They had a couple of significant injuries on the starting staff, but I just think they've got enough players and they've got some speed. They remind me a little bit of Kansas City.
Yeah, they brought in a lot of character with Donaldson and Russell Martin. That'll be really interesting. And they got Bautista and Encarnacion, and
right.
Yeah, they'll be very fun to watch too. It's going to be entertaining. You know, the Yanks are down. The Orioles didn't do a whole lot, really. But they got Showalter. It could go a lot of different ways, which is the best scenario you could have.
All right. Hey, great to have you with us back in the Bay Area. We'll be talking next Saturday, and then here we go, April 6th. Get ready. The journey begins.
Can't wait, Marty. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. All right. That is the wonderful Bruce Jenkins as we look through the window of baseball here on this Sunday.